Grade 6 Conference, Part 3, The Fourfold Human Being Continued. I'll say more about the astral body now. We might wonder, with this long list of all of the astral body's malfeasances, why in the world do we have one? Why do we have one? We have one as Lucifer told Eve, so that we could be as gods. That's Lucifer's gift to us, and that's another reason it comes too soon, so that we can be awake, so that we can be conscious. The astral body is the bearer of our day waking consciousness. Now let's look at a kind of hierarchical list of the tasks of these bodies. The physical body is in a state of completely deep sleep. It's sleepwalking, we might say, if it's on its own. That's the best it can do. The etheric body, when it is fully united with the physical, then we get instinct. Then we are able to, in a way, be protected by that guardian angel throughout our life. You know, our instincts generally won't fail us. Where the etheric body is able to be in a 50-50 relationship with the physical body, this is where we develop habit. Where the etheric body is able to open itself up to the astral body, this is where we get memory. So the etheric body is carrying the memory, but the astral is moving together with the etheric. This is why we want to make the poems appealing, why we want to make the stories interesting, why we can't just give children laundry lists to memorize, but it has to be meaningful. This is all the astral and the etheric, and this is fine. This is where they work together and harmonize. But where the astral is able to stand on its own, and even start to take on traces of the ego, this is where memory leads to thinking. And this is what the 8 years of Waldorf education in the grade school are all about. We are teaching the children how to have a foundation for independent thinking. And this we cannot do without the astral body. How does the first philosopher, the first true philosopher in the Western world, die? He's given poison. This is a picture. The first man who really can think, somewhat like a modern person, Socrates, he must be poisoned. And Aristotle almost had the same fate, but he fled Athens, saying he wouldn't let them sin twice against philosophy. So, thinking brings forces of death, at least catabolic forces, destructive forces, into our nature. The foundation for thinking rests, in a way, on pillars of disruption, of unpredictability, of emotion, and so on and so forth. And this is going to be our big challenge in grade 6. We are trying to teach the children how to think. And I suggest that if you want to go directly to some places where this comes up, number one, astronomy. Listen to my lectures on teaching astronomy, and you'll see a way in which the children begin to awaken to thinking. Number two, geometry, geometrical drawing. There's a video on how to teach that, and I'll be talking about why we teach that. And along with that, working towards formulas. Business math with the interest formula, and also the formula for, in particular, the circumference of a circle and the value of pi. These are things that you can just teach in a way, you know, well, this is what you do, pi is 3.159. Or you can do it in such a way that you help the students take their first steps in thinking. So this is critical. This is important. And I urge you to take this part of your work very seriously, not just so that you have smart kids, which is what your development director is probably promising your parents, but so that you have young people who are healthy, young people who are not just going to give way to only the darker side of adolescence, but also to be able at all times to have a sense of the inpouring light that is also there. So this is the gift of the astral body, and like it or not, it's something that we have to work with. It's part of being a modern conscious human being, and it's also a foundation for what Rudolf Steiner speaks of as the consciousness soul. Now, we aren't really historically getting to the consciousness soul in grade 6. That comes in grade 7. But we'll see as we also look at the history in grade 6 about how powerfully, how importantly this is going to provide a basis for what we're going to bring about European history in particular at the time of the Renaissance. Now let me just say a few words about the fourth part of the human being, though we will not see much, if any, of this at work in the sixth grader, or in fact at all in the grade school, but it's important for us to nonetheless know that it's there and that it's working in its own way, and this is the human ego. So if it's not in the sixth grader, where is it? Well, it's in two places, we might say, among others. Number one, the ego is there at all times in human life. It's there from the moment we're born, but it's just a very, very small amount of it is there. Let me just give you some proportions. When we are born, 100% of our physical body is present. You know, that the little baby has all the organs, everything at least in seed form that is going to grow into a big person. When we are born, perhaps about 25% of our etheric body is within us, keeping us alive, maintaining us, organizing the position and size of our organs and their interplay and so on and so forth. 75% is still outside of us. And it stretches, we might say, to the path that the moon takes around the Earth, the sphere of the moon, as Steiner and medieval astronomers would speak of it. And then over the next 10, 11 years, the etheric body rushes towards us and contracts to the point where it fits within our body, almost all of it, 95% or more. The astral body, when we are born, it's perhaps 5 or 10% of the astral body is within us, just enough so that we can cry and express our discomfort. The capacity to smile doesn't come for a month or 40 days traditionally. So, you know, you just see very little of the astral body is there, only what's needed for survival. And movement, which is another aspect of the astral body's work, is of course very chaotic and very unclear. Think of the thrashing around of the little baby, and you have to think of the emotional life of the pubescent adolescent child. The astral body is working now in the emotions the way it once worked on the little arms and legs. And of course, in the old days, you would just swaddle a baby so that they didn't move that way. Can we swaddle the children emotionally? Good question. Anyway, the astral body, only 5-10% of it is within us at birth. The rest of it is living all the way out, according to Steiner, towards the farthest realms of the zodiac. So this is why we have the animals in the zodiac. They are, in a way, the guiding beings of the astral world. Think how much further it has to rush to come towards us so that by age 14, a good part of that astral body is within us. How much is within us? 50% of our astral body is within us. That's the maximum. 100% physical body is with us. 95% etheric body is in the sixth grader. 50% or less of the astral body. You never have more than that. Where's the rest of it? Well, to some extent, it's sort of still extending out to the zodiac, but actually the rest of it is within the people around us, within all those that we know and love, within those with whom we come into regular contact, within those who are walking on the street of a city in which we are, we might say in the whole world. The astral body forces us to be social beings. This is why Steiner's law about being a social being has to do with the interplay of the individual and others around. You know, that it's the same. It's the same being in a way. Or Goethe says, if you want to know your neighbors, look within yourself. If you want to know yourself, look at your neighbors. This is the law of the astral body. It's social. This is why solitary confinement is also one of the most horrible kinds of punishments or methods of torture that can be utilized, because people need other people. Only the greatest, most developed kind of individual can truly be a hermit without going out of his mind. So this is the other 50%. But even so, that 50% has to rush over the years of childhood to find itself incorporated within us. It's going faster than the etheric body. Therefore, it has more momentum. Therefore, it hits us much harder, and it kind of knocks you over. And this is another thing that we see. Sometimes you feel you're watching a sixth grader walking, and it's as though they're walking against a powerful wind that's blowing towards them from their own future. Because that's another aspect of these bodies. The etheric and physical bodies, they accompany us out of the past. The astral body and the ego are waiting in the future. They're streaming towards us from a completely different direction. And what about this ego? It won't really be incorporated until age 21. And that's just the beginning. It's just kind of working for the rest of our life, trying to be incorporated. It's little of it is incorporated. 5%, just the opposite of the etheric body. So when children have, you know, 1/100th of a percent or so, where's the rest of the ego? It's beyond the zodiac. It's in the farthest realms, we might say, of intergalactic space, which appears to us from Earth to be empty because it's filled with spirit. And spirit, which is filled with itself, appears empty to those who don't have the eyes to see it. But no more than 5% ever comes. Why? Because it would kill us if it came 7%, 10%, 12% or so. We wouldn't be able to live very long with the complete force of our ego. In the future, we will be. This is what human evolution is all about now. We've already got enough etheric forces. We have more astrality than we really need or wish to have in certain ways. But it's really, how are we going to incorporate the ego more and more? Because it's the ego that integrates the other three bodies. It's the ego that transforms the other three bodies into spiritual faculties. So this is very powerful. And only an initiate can go beyond the 5% rule. And initiates also often do not live very long, because the ego forces are just so filled with fire that they are being burned away. So this is where the ego is. However, because of all these astral bodies in the room, you need some egoity. And the good news is it's there in the room. The bad news is it's your ego, which is needed. The first four grades, even the first five grades, you probably at times found yourself, you know, living so deeply in a myth you were telling that you sort of fell asleep in it. You found yourself here and there dreaming a little bit at times. Maybe the children were all drawing and you, you know, depleted from everything you had done in the first hour and a quarter of the main lesson, just started drifting away. No big deal. You know, the children's life of habit is really carrying them. The good work you've done allows you to go on automatic pilot now and then. By the middle of grade six, bid farewell to those days of yore, I assure you. You have to be present every moment, every minute. If you're not physically present, let's say when the kids are going out for recess or when they're in a handwork class, you have to let your consciousness extend that far. Because the biggest problems that happen, in fact, all problems that happen in a sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade class, they come about when the teacher's ego lapses. When the teacher isn't feeling well, when the teacher is tired, when the teacher forgot to hang up the problems of the morning on a hook before walking in, whatever. There are a host of reasons that our ego forces get a bit depressed, and then all hell breaks loose. You know, you have to imagine yourself like the charioteer of Delphi. You've got a bunch of wild horses, and it doesn't really matter if your class has 34 kids, as mine did, or seven kids, as do many classes that I visit nowadays, it doesn't matter. All you need is one astral body, and that can do plenty. So you have to be awake. And in a certain way, the curriculum for this year supports that kind of wakefulness. The work that you'll be doing this summer, beginning, of course, with your wisdom in listening to this conference of all conferences, the work that you're doing this summer is going to transform you. You're going to be awakened by these subjects. You're going to be awakened by the capacities that you need to develop. Your ego will come in a new way. And I can tell you that among the 100 other things that deters people from stepping into this grade, this is one of them. It's not just that I'm not good in math or I'm terrified of physics or anything like that. You know, that's all secondary. It's that people have a sense, teachers have a sense, that just having a wonderful, charming astral body is not going to cut the mustard anymore. Now I'm going to have to really bring an ego into that classroom. Or the children will tell me, in a lightning-fast way, that I'm not bringing that ego in, and problems will arise. But don't worry. In every subject we touch upon, I'm going to be talking about ways in which, you know, this can be cultivated. And again, you know, Steiner did not ask us to do anything without giving us at least a few hints and clues and indications, as we like to say, about where we're going to get the forces, the capacities, the wherewithal to do it. So next we'll go beyond the fourfold human being and look at some of the particular issues that will come up as the astral body makes its way into your classroom.